Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, and welcome to another episode of A Sound Heart Radio. This morning's show will be dealing with a very important subject, and this subject has to do with sin. Sin is any lack of conformity to the character of God, whether it be an act, disposition, or state. And so we will consider God's healing power over sin. And it was Paul who wrote, "Where sin abounded, grace superabounded," and then some more on top of that. And so sin is powerful, and sin can have a very decisive and very detrimental effect upon an individual's life. In fact, Paul also writes that the wages of sin are death, is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. In Ephesians chapter 2, Paul talks about those who were dead in trespasses and sin. And he goes on to illustrate the creative power of God in providing life, Zoe in the Greek, to those who were dead in trespasses and sin. The word that has been translated where, W-E-R-E in Greek, is the word ontos, O-N, T-O-S, from which we get our word ontology. So Paul is referring to a state of being, death, and thanatos, dead in trespasses and sin. So we're going to take a look in John chapter 5, and we have a specific case narrative of a healing event performed by the Christ. I want you to know very carefully how Jesus approaches this individual, and then this individual's response to Jesus. Note very carefully. This individual whom Jesus meets in John chapter 5 is called the weak one. And so this man is so identified with his condition that this is what he is called in the text, the original text, I should say. He is called the weak one. And I want you to hear the words of Jesus to this individual. Chapter 5, verse 1. After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having five porches or porticos. In these lay a great many impotent folk, one blind, halt, and withered, waiting for the movement, for the moving of the water. I'm going to skip chapter 4. There's some textual problem with this particular verse. Verse 5. And a certain man was there, which had an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him lie, he knew that he had been now a long time in that case. He saith unto him, wilt thou be made whole. Now, please note the astuteness of the writer, and notice what the knowledge that he gives to us of this particular individual. Verse 5, he tells us that there is a certain man who had an infirmity 38 years. And so here's a generalized term. He doesn't provide for us a specific disease or disease state, but there's a generalized, it gives us a generalized understanding of this person's condition. So a weakness, and a weakness that had controlled his life for 38 years. Notice verse 6. The writer records the astute observation of Jesus. Notice, when Jesus saw him lie, now we get more information about this individual. So he was prostrated. When Jesus saw him lie, Jesus carefully observed this particular individual and knew that he had been now a long time in that case. And so there are other factors over time that developed in this individual's life as a part of his symptomatology. And Jesus knows this. And Jesus notes, taking careful awareness of this individual. So Jesus also understands his psychological state. We understand his physical state, but note the connection, the psychophysical connection that Jesus makes about this individual. So Jesus asks this individual this question in verse 6, wilt thou be made whole? Very interesting words from Jesus, and used in a very precise manner. So Jesus employs a special choice of words. Now, I want you to know the response of this individual. Verse 7, the impotent man answered him, Sir, the Greek text has Lord. Lord, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me into the pool, but while I am coming, another steps down before me. Now, this is the man's response to a direct question from Jesus. The man chooses not to answer the direct question of Jesus because part of his symptomatology is being exposed to us at this point. That is what is really going on in his soul. Notice the excuse making. Notice the victimization. He sees himself as a victim. He is, and note that the writer skillfully calls him at the beginning of verse 7, the impotent man. Or in the Greek, he is called raho estimo. We have the masculine article ho in the Greek text, and then we have the adjective estimo, or the weak one. So he is so identified with his condition that he answers Jesus in this indirect manner. He gives an indirect answer to a direct question. And so, Sir, I have no man when the water is troubled or swirls about or is moving to put me into the pool. But while I am coming, another steps down before me. Notice the pronouns that the man assigns to himself. And so his life has been rendered passive by the generalized condition. We don't know at this point what the condition is, but we will know. Now, Jesus does not address what this man has said to him. Notice what Jesus does in verse 8, and action takes place. This man has existed in existential passivity for 38 years. And Jesus moves into his life in a very powerful manner. In verse 8, Jesus said to him, "Rise," or "Egare," "take up thy bed and walk." Egare. Jesus uses the term of resurrection. He uses, that is, Jesus uses an eschatological term. He uses the resurrection term, that is, wake up. I want you to see what sin does, the disempowerment. Whereas Jesus moves into his life and empowers him to rise up out of this passive, weakened condition. Jesus said, "Rise, take up thy bed and walk." Verse 9 tells us, "And immediately the man was made whole or complete, and took up his bed and walked." On the same day was the Sabbath. Now we get more information about this man. We see the effectiveness of the power of God in his life. Now we've got to note something else. This man gets up. Verse 13, he knows that he was healed. And in verse 14, we have these words. "Afterward, Jesus findeth him in the temple and said unto him, Behold, thou art made whole." And so now we have a prescription from the healer, Jesus. Jesus says to him, "Sin no more, lest the worst thing come unto thee." Now, he wants to have this man understand that, yes, the grace of God had entered into his life and raised him up, made him sound, completely sound. And then Jesus goes on and he tells him, says to this man, no longer practice sin. Do not practice sin any longer. And so the disease that this man suffered for 38 years, the generalized disorder due to sin, God himself, God saved him from the practice of sinful ways. God is still in the saving business today through Christ Jesus. God is in the healing business. God overcomes the power of sin, the controlling narrative that sin brings into the life of an individual. When God comes in and frees an individual from sin, the individual must understand that he must no longer practice the ways of sin. The wages of sin are death. The gift of God is eternal life. Christ Jesus. This man was warned. This is biblical behavioral medicine. Understand that God wants us to have life in superabundance, John 10:10. Let's listen to his words. Listen to the words of the great healer when he comes to you. God sets you free, remain free by not practicing sin. Good morning, beloved. My name is Dr. Josiah Rich. Have a blessed day.